Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh. You're here with Scott Shepard and Brad Wright. How you doing, Brad?
Doing great, Scott.
We have a very cool lineup for you today. The Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of Tech Tool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X. You can check them out at micromat.com. MCE Technologies, the place to get the coolest upgrades for your PowerBook, your G4, your G5, dual layer stuff, great things there. MCETech.com. DVD XDV, do you want to take cool content from a DVD and bring it into QuickTime, Final Cut Pro, Final Cut Express, Avid System, you name it, you need it. Check it out, DVDXDV.com. And our media partners, Creative Pro, the place to go for creative information. Cool forum postings, tips, tricks, great stuff, CreativePro.com. Printing for Less, the official printers of the Inside Mac radio program. Great deals on printing. They'll take any file you got, no matter where it comes from, and create a nice, happy print job for you. PrintingForLess.com. Mac Update, the coolest place to get your software updates for the Macintosh. And, of course, the Digital Production Buzz of Philip Hodges at DigitalProductionBuzz.com. So, Brad.
Yes.
How's things going with you?
Well, I'm back from the dead, basically. So I'm feeling quite a bit better. I was sick for about 2 weeks. Now I'm still getting over pneumonia from that big monster flu. I think the next big killer flu will come from some preschool or some elementary school, because that's where all the flu viruses are. And they all come home to me.
Yeah, you got it pretty good there. I don't know how you got that bug, but that was crazy.
It was crazy. It was just like 1 week of just like absolutely no memory, just asleep for the entire week.
No code, no nothing.
No nothing. It was ugly. Oh, man. Don't catch it.
No. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better. Hey, we have a great show lined up for today. Pretty soon here. Next up, we're going to have Philip Hodges doing the Digital Production Buzz weekly post news. We're going to have another segment. We're going to talk, myself and Brad, we're going to talk about the new MacBook Pro upgrades before it even shipped. And you ordered one.
Yeah, it's coming from Taiwan, I think, somewhere.
So you're dialed there.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to talk about the new MacBook Pro and how they upgraded it before it actually even shipped.
Yeah.
Pretty neat stuff there. Sam Love is going to be calling in with his cool Mac picks. We're going to have John Marino on, the Vice President of Science and Technology for the National Association of Broadcasters, talking about NAB post-production coming up here in about, 2 months?
Oh, yeah.
The full Monster NAB show, and we're going to specifically hit on the post-production world conferences going on and the NAB podcasting summit. So we're going to talk about all the cool things going on there with NAB. Then in the second hour, we're going to have Linda Wyman on from Flash Forward. We're going to talk about Flash Forward 2006 here in 2 weeks in Seattle.
Yes.
They got a bunch of cool things going there and some pretty big speakers, actually.
Yeah. Great show. It sounds like it's really going to be, if you're into Flash, you got to be there.
Oh, it's going to be cool stuff and a bunch of stuff going on there with Adobe. Then later on in the hour, we're going to talk with Derek Story. Derek was on the Mac Geek Cruise.
Yeah.
That went to Mexico here a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
And we're going to talk to Derek about what went down with that deal and how it was cruising the open seas with a bunch of Mac geeks.
Yeah, I think I'd want to jump off that ship. I don't think I'd last 2 seconds on that ship.
Yeah, I don't know, but it seems like a pretty cool deal. I mean, a lot of people went and had fun, so should be a pretty interesting deal there.
Yeah.
What else have you been up to, Brad?
Not a whole heck of a lot. I've been starting doing some universal binaries. I've been playing around with the Intel Macs, and they are just great. When you're running native software, they just scream.
Really?
They are just, it's nice.
Have you been downloading some other apps that are universal binaries and playing with the stuff?
No. I've just been running my own stuff, and then just the iLife, which actually we're going to be talking a little bit about iWork and stuff coming up, which is also just great, great software. I mean, if you don't have iLife and iWork, you got to go buy it. It's great software. You can't live without it. It's totally worth checking out. Great stuff.
Yeah, and I see there's a lot of people now that have ported their apps over to universal binaries.
Yeah, it's coming along. I mean, not enough, but it's coming along. I mean, obviously, we're looking for the big ones. We know which those are.
Yeah. They'll be coming, one of these days here. And, of course, you can go over to Macintouch. Has a full list of everything that's now available as a universal binary.
So, oh, yes.
Great stuff there. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back with Philip Hodges, the Digital Production Buzzmeister.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world. This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4 and the brand new hardware solution Protégé. You can check them out at micromat.com. Right now we have Philip Hodges, the digital production buzzmeister. How are we doing, Philip?
God, it's a beautiful Saturday afternoon. What am I doing talking to you?
I don't know. We should all be out having some fun somewhere.
Well, it's been an interesting week this week. Back from the dead, Lifetime Central.
Ah,
really? Tell us about that. What's up with that deal?
Well, Lifetime Central is one of the first sites that launched to support Lifetime One with, you know, extra live fonts and templates and live objects. And I'm guessing it never really caught off, and it went very dormant for a while, and actually I think went offline for a while. It's part of 12-inch Designs family. They do great design, great motion graphic elements. Well, it's back, and it's back with some really great expansion packs. It's got three expansion packs, which will double what you've got with Lifetime. Now, I'm not terribly fond of the live fonts that they got. They'll have uses, but they're not as exciting as some of the live fonts that Apple made. But their live objects and their backgrounds and their templates are just awesome. The deal, the sweet deal, is get all three packs for $299 because you'll pay $150 for each of the packs. Now, I work out 3 by 150 is $450, so $300 is a lot cheaper. And would you like to go to NAB free and get Avid editing software as well?
Yeah, how do we do that one?
Are you passionate about something?
Yeah.
Make a 60-second video and submit it to Avid's new 60-second video competition.
Wow, for free Avid, that's not bad.
A free Avid, probably an Express Pro, but hey, that's not to be sneezed at. That's a very nice piece of editing software, and of course it runs on a Mac.
Yeah, that is cool. Now, doesn't Avid also make some kind of free software you can download to play with that only does, like, two tracks of video or something?
Yeah, there's FreeDV is there. Was their response, I think, to Final Cut Express when it was announced. It's not exactly setting the world on fire. Well, everybody that's going to enter this competition will win a free T-shirt. Six finalists will also get the software, and the grand prize winner gets to go to Las Vegas during NAB to attend Post-Production World Conference and the NAB Conference.
Wow. Well, that's pretty nice. That's an expensive ticket. That's worth like $1,200 or something, isn't it?
It is indeed. Oh, I should have also mentioned that Nicholas Knapp, who's one of the co-founders of 12-inch Design and Lifetime Central, was on the Digital Production Buzz show last Thursday.
Really?
You can catch him up in the archives and learn the importance of design in post-production motion graphics and the importance of getting those elements made for you.
Yeah, that's a definitely thing that people need to learn. I think, you know, Lifetime's a pretty powerful program that a lot of people don't use to its, ability.
Yeah, and a lot of people have thought that motion kind of makes Lifetime obsolete, but as it currently stands, there's a couple of things that Lifetime does that motion doesn't do, in particular controlling the color of a live font. Motion's a bit funky when doing that.
Yeah, motion is very, very complicated. That's one of the things that's just, it just makes it difficult. You have to have a monster system or you limit yourself to just doing real low resolution type stuff because it really, really packs the power. Whereas Lifetime, you can do a few little neat things with it and it's not bad.
You can get in there, get your stuff done and get out of it very quickly without sort of taking up too much of your time.
Oh, yeah.
The whole templaritization of the industry, which both Motion and Lifetime support, is a real trend. You can show a client a template and say, is that sort of what you want? And then you go in and you customize it. You know, make it a little, tweak it this way, tweak it that way, make it your own.
Yeah, that's quite nice.
And the Mac platform had a win this week. Red Giant Software unveiled the latest release of film restoration tools and for After Effects 7, and they include a Mac OS 10 version for the first time.
Nice.
We like to hear that, don't we?
Now, I wonder if this is because of the Intel binary and it was easy for them to actually port this stuff over to the Mac now.
Could well be. It could well be. It does run on a PowerPC Mac, so they still did that work, but maybe they just needed to get it into Xcode or who knows what goes through developers' minds. I mean, gosh, we don't know any developers that are in a sane sense of mind, do we?
Not really.
We're all crazy.
Sorry, Brad.
We're all nuts.
This film will fix support standard def and HD resolutions, and it's only $2,000.
Only $2,000. Go
only
buy it right now.
But it automatically detects all those film defects and fixes them for you, so it can save an awful lot of time if you're actually in that film restoration business.
Yeah. I mean, that's like something that Lowry Digital does with huge amounts of Power Macs. I mean, they do all the film restorations on all those DVDs. Now you can do it at home.
Exactly. And I'm sure you've caught up with the news, but Logic Pro is now in a universal binary. That 7.2 version is shipping.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I mean, I think I've been playing around with the Intel iMac. I can't wait for the PowerBook. I mean, even that thing's getting even faster than the Intel iMac. It's just going to be fantastic. It's going
to
score.
I am, too, looking forward to an Intel MacBook Pro, sorry. We got to get it right.
Yes.
Reprogram that part of the brain.
MacBook Pro.
Mac. Yeah, I don't know why they changed the name on. I'm interested to see what they're going to come out with for their professional tower series, you know, their main...
Oh, I don't. That's going to be a while. I don't think Intel's got anything on the roadmap till the end of the year that actually is a decent, powerful chip. Intel's been putting their money into like laptop processors. I mean, they're putting in R&D. They don't really have a really killer chip yet that's on par with a quad power PC. Maybe they got something up their sleeve, but quad power PC, man, it's the best.
It will be fun, it's certainly going to be. It's going to be an important tool for a long time for people working with Adobe products because they're not coming out in universal binary for some time. And the quad power PC with the plugins is going to be the way to go for quite a while yet.
Oh yes, oh definitely. And it's like you need your own 20-amp circuit to run it too because it just sucks power galore. It's like turn it on, it'll blow the lights in your room.
Oh, cool! I like that,
Philip. Let's talk about the death of the blockbuster movie and the rise of computer-generated media.
Well, it's consumer-generated media, I think, is interesting. Is what replacing it? If we look at the figures, the blockbuster album, music album peaked in the 90s with the CD, and it's really dropped dramatically since then. The movies, you know, the percentage of total movie take that a blockbuster does is dropping dramatically since the 90s to the present, and the cost of making them is going up. And what's replacing all that is the long tail. Now, it's not a slinky rat or anything like that. This is the media that isn't the most popular media. If you look at the graph that Chris Anderson first put into Wired a couple of years ago, you know, the media that everyone wants to see is at the left, and that's a big peak. But then there's this long tail of stuff that's, you know, gardening, minor sports, it's all sorts of things like that that we couldn't access easily before. And now we're starting to see that with consumer sites. And, you know, we're seeing the first of it in places like OurMedia.org and Google Video and Yahoo Video, where people can publish it. And a new one from Participatory Culture called the Video Bomb. And you can put that up there, videobomb.com, and you can just check that out. Funniest movies up there. They're really very funny. That's part of the Participatory Culture group, and these are a group of people who are dedicated to making it easier to democratize, and they produce the broadcast machine and the DTV client. And the DTV client comes up to a release version on this week, on the 21st.
Oh, cool. Hey, Philip, thank you so much for all that great information and this information about the death of the blockbuster. You can find out more information on Philip's show at the DigitalProductionBuzz.com. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up here, we're going to talk about the new MacBook Pro. We'll be right back. If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by MCE Technologies. Do you want to fix up that old computer and put a new fast dual-layer super drive in? Well, you can do it. Check them out, mcetech.com. They're also an Apple-authorized reseller. So if you're looking for a new MacBook Pro, stuffed to the gunnels with all the coolest stuff, you can check them out, mcetech.com. Right now we have little Sammy Levin on. Sam is here with his cool Mac picks. How you doing, Sammy?
I'm doing great. More and more peripherals out there than I've ever seen, Scott. And speaking of peripherals, our good friends at Oakley have come out with a new pair of sunglasses. And actually, they've been out for the last, maybe 4 months or so, 4.5 months. But I think they're pretty cool. And these are called the Thumps. And actually, they're called Thump 2. You remember last year we brought on the Thump 1s and previewed them on Cool Mac Picks. And what's cool about these is it's basically a shuffle built in to the lens or to the side of your sunglasses. And everyone knows that Oakley are one of the hottest sportswear companies for eyeglasses and jackets. And, you know, I wear them all the time when I go running. But now you've got an MP3 player with a full gigabyte, up to a gigabyte of memory built in. Now, with a Thunk 2, you're allowed to even import not just MP3 and WAV and AIFF, but also AAC files. And that's something pretty sweet, in my opinion, Scott. They're available for $349 from Oakley.com, O-A-K-L-E-Y. And I think they're great. So for all those people that are working out and don't want to carry an iPod with them, this is the ticket. They're called the Thump 2. They also make a version before that. I don't know if it's available, called the Thump 1. They come in black and some other color, brown, tortoiseshell. Very, very cool. Check it out at Oakley.com. Also, for all you guys that have an iPod video and you're sick and tired of carrying that big AV cable with you, you got to check out a company called BoxWave. That's B-O-X-W-A-V-E. They make a retractable AV cable for the iPod video. And it's great. It's $24.95. It rolls up into something almost 2.5 inches in length. It's wonderful, Scott. If you're traveling, you want to give some presentations or watch your movies, you don't have to carry that big AV cable anymore or a dock. Just go to BoxWave, check it out. They make a number of different cables for Apple's iPod, Palm, Trio, smartphones. I love the product. I carry it with me every day. I love it so much, I even paid for it. That's right.
That must be really good then.
Yeah, I know. If I pay for it, that's a big deal.
Yeah. No, that sounds great. That sounds like something I could really use. I'd pick one of those up and throw in my bag. It's a great idea.
It's fantastic. If you travel, you will definitely want this. I've been wanting to buy it for a long time. I finally did it and received it a couple days ago, and I can't wait to start using it when I'm traveling or just go to a friend's house and plug it into your TV, and it's retractable.
Does it have S-video or is it composite?
Composite. It's the same cables that Apple ships, or the same, you know, RCA.
Right.
So it's the same thing, except it's really small. It's the same retractable cable that you've seen for, you know, your sync cables that companies have come out with. It's white, and it's really great. I love it. And just check out BoxWave.com for all your cool cable needs for your iPod.
Wow.
Cool. Sammy, thank you very much. That was Sam Levin doing his cool Mac picks. You can find out more information on what Sammy's been talking about and all the cool things about Inside Mac over at InsideMacRadio.com. Great stuff.
Yeah.
I like to look at that BoxWave deal because that Apple cable is a little bulky. You know what's another tip, too, here is a lot of the small personal handheld camcorders use the same cable configuration as the little four-step eighth-inch mini jack for the iPod. Let's say if you have a Canon or a Sony small little hand camera,
mm-hmm.
and you want to hook up the component video with the audio to your TV out of the camcorder, uses the same cable as the the iPod video.
Oh,
and sometimes
yeah.
they're a little thinner. They're cheaper. You know, they're junk cables.
Yeah.
But it's thinner weight, lightweight, but the Apple one still rocks. Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying? Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity.
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting Micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Informal,
informative,
in front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show was brought to you by DVDXDV. Do you have some cool content on a DVD, some things you shot? Maybe you made something in iDVD or DVD Studio Pro, and now you need to pull it back off. You can't find the original source material, or who knows what you want to do, but you can take MPEG-2 content off your DVD and bring it into any of Apple's great applications for video. So check that out at DVDXDV.com. Also, they have a very cool piece of software that lets you take the new HDV MPEG-2 content that is shot on the new Canon X2H1 camera and convert that over into something you can use in the Final Cut. So check that out, hdvxdv.com. So Brad.
Yes.
Brand new MacBook Pro. You ordered one.
I ordered one. Oh, yeah.
Apple upgraded these before they even shipped. This is the first time.
Isn't that great? Wouldn't it just be great if someone just said, hey, we decided to just give you a little more for free.
They did.
I mean, if you had like ordered a 1.6, you suddenly got a 1.83.
Yeah,
just
if like you ordered a 1.8, like, you got a 2.0.
Yeah, I got 2.0.
And now, you ordered a 2.16.
Yeah. See, I had to have a little bit faster, a little bit better. It was like, I think with my developer discount, it's a $300 extra option. So it costs a little bit more to get that. But, you know, when you just need that little extra speed, you know, you're just, it's worth it, you know. It's a cool
Now, you ordered yours with a 2.16.
2.16.
7,200 RPM drive.
Oh, see, now that is
serial
the best
ATA too.
Thing in the world. Finally, laptops getting faster drives. I mean, when you try to, you know, basically when you're working on your laptop and you're going out to disk, in the past, it's all been these really slow drives. So it didn't matter how fast your computer was. You're basically just slamming into a wall on your hard drive. And now they finally have 7,200 RPM drives that can fit in these things. And that is just, that's the way to go. I mean,
plus they're serial ATA.
Yeah, because it's basically a little bit less waiting for your CPU, you know, less spinning, just, you know, less waiting there. It's just less, you know, easier load on the system.
How big a drive?
It's like 100 gig.
Well, that's still pretty good.
It's still pretty good. It would be nice if they had, and it was, you know, it's like, I hope the product manager listening, a serial AETA SATA output directly off one of the ports. That would be solid. Just one of these things with a port multiplier, because now you can get, you know, you can put a little card in this baby and you can stick it out and raid together five drives.
Right.
Which is nice.
Now, has anybody made the new miniature, because this has a new miniature card slot in it.
Yeah.
So has anybody make a miniature card yet for serial ATA interface?
I don't know, but I'm sure it's on the drawing boards at many of these companies.
Now, I've seen their serial ATA cards now for the older PowerBooks with the regular full-size PC MCIA slot.
Yeah.
But the new mini slot.
Yes, we don't know yet.
They'll have them soon, because I think a lot of PC-based notebooks have the miniature slot in them now.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to be the next wave. I mean, this really is a killer system. And when you look at it, I mean, now we finally have, I mean, we have something that's even faster than if we had a G5 notebook. I mean, this is a screamer. These MacBook Pros are just fantastic. I mean, as long as you're running native software.
Yeah, and I'm still a lot of things on a Rosetta probably wouldn't even tell.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, running Word, I mean, come on, Word, Entourage, maybe. I mean, how?
Yeah, some of that stuff is, but if you're running Word, you should really be running Pages. that's my advice, you know. You know, friends don't let friends run Word.
There you go. But I mean, like an email program or some other text editor.
Yeah,
I mean, how much a hit are you going to take?
I think that's right. I mean, I don't think you're going to take much of a hit. The great thing is we got PCI Express graphics in this baby.
Yeah, 256 meg on the one you ordered.
Yeah. That's drive 230-inch LCD displays.
Right, because it's DVI dual.
Yeah.
Dual-link DVI out.
Yeah.
Pretty cool stuff there. You can check that out at apple.com, the great new MacBook Pros. Freshly upgraded for the same price. Check it out, apple.com. You're listening to Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen online tonight or the David Lawrence Show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show brought to you by Mac Update. If you need to get the quickest, coolest updates for your Macintosh, get them in, get them quick, get out. Check it out, MacUpdate.com. Right now, we're joined by John Marino. John is the Vice President of Science and Technology for the National Association of Broadcasters. We're going to talk today about NAB 2006. How are we doing, John?
Doing good, Scott. Doing good.
Hey, tell our listeners that they don't know, what is NAB and what is the big, huge NAB show in Las Vegas?
Okay, well, NAB is a trade association for broadcasters. It's the National Association of Broadcasters, and it's been in existence since, long before I can remember, since the 1920s. And what we do every year is put together a large convention and show in Las Vegas, and it occurs in April every year. And what it has evolved into over many, many years is the largest digital media event in the world. We cover a lot of issues in our conferences, beginning with, broadcast-specific focus conferences, and we go on to the new technologies, mobile media, and so forth. And the exhibit floor is one of the largest. It's almost 1 million square feet of all sorts of production equipment and broadcast equipment and new technology, internet, streaming media, basically anything involved with digital asset management. You'll all see that at the show. So it's a very, very large event, one of the largest that's held in Las Vegas every year.
Yeah, I think it is the largest broadcast type event held in the world, correct?
It is. That's correct.
So this is cool stuff. Of course, you're going to have broadcasters from radio and television there. What other kind of people attend NAB as an attendee point?
Well, we have quite a variety in our demographic breakdown. We have folks from academia that come. We have all industries practically are represented at the NAB show. And the reason for that is that everybody now is getting into the newer technologies with digital media. They're doing production. They're doing in-house production. We have a lot of folks from Hollywood that come to the show. We have a digital cinema summit that we just put together to accommodate some of their educational needs. But the exhibitors are focused on a lot of new areas, and they go after a lot of targeted audiences. So specifically, if you look at what our demographics are, it's very, very general with all the industries out there that are involved in producing content and delivering it to either a wide audience through broadcasting or a very focused audience through narrowcasting.
Okay, so we have the huge trade show that I know is gigantic. I mean, I think it takes 4 days just to walk the floor if you even just, if you want to see everything.
If you're lucky and you're running, you had a good sprint.
So I guess it's something you really need to plan out when you do the floor is what you really want to see and look at this website. That's nabshow.com. And sort of, I guess, plan out what you're going to do ahead of time.
That's absolutely right, and we try to encourage people to do that because if it's your first time to the show, you're going to be overwhelmed by it because all the exhibit floor is just, it's incredible, and if you just walk into the place, you're just lost. You wind up going through one small section of the show, and then you start thinking, I want to see this exhibitor, and I can't find him. So you have to plan it out in advance.
Yeah, now let's talk about the conferences. You guys, there's a lot of conferences going on at NAB besides the NAB show. So let's give a rundown here of the different conferences you're running because these are complete full conference deals going besides the show.
Yeah, we keep the show very dynamic as far as our conferences and our educational content. So we look at what's going to be happening a year down the line. We start planning for these things right after the show primarily. And we start looking at the crystal ball and saying, what's going to be the big technologies that are going to need to give us some incentive to educate people to get them involved with this. And we start looking at, what's on the horizon. So, obviously podcasting is huge. We're hitting that this year very, very hard with a new conference. So there'll be a podcasting summit that's going to be held at the show. Another thing that's very big for us this year is going to be web and mobile development. We have a conference that's going to be specifically high-end on how to develop web content and translate that into mobile delivery of repurposed content through the web and so forth. The whole mobile media issues with the telcos involved, how is content going to be moved from device to device, sending broadcast content and other content to PDAs and telephones and so forth. That's going to be a big issue at the show. IPTV is something very big, which we're going to have a whole day-long conference session on. Aside from that, we have Post Production World, which is the largest post-production show in the world, essentially. And we've been holding that for about the past 3 years, and that, again, is looking like it's shaping up to be a very big event for us. We have well over 200 sessions that we do during that one conference alone. We have a broadcast engineering conference, which is also second to none in the the world that just addresses broadcast technical issues, the newer technologies that are involved in broadcasting, very heavy on high-definition broadcasting and production and so forth. And we have a Technologies for Worship conference that we've done for the past few years as well. And Technologies for Worship, we found that there is a very, very large market becoming well-known now from what's being done with production in the large mega churches that are being built around the country. We see a lot of huge facilities coming up. They're buying a lot of production equipment, which we have at our show, obviously. And these folks need to be educated on how to use this equipment, what the new software is, you know, how these new platforms will evolve, you know, as time goes on. So we have some training sessions in our Technologies for Worship conference. So we have a digital cinema summit, which we do on the weekends, and that is specifically focused to the Hollywood folks and the theater owners and everybody who's trying to transition from the analog delivery of cinema and film into the digital world. And that's a very large growing conference for us that we've been doing for the past 4 years. So we have a lot of technology offerings at the show, and you know, we get a very, very good response to these each year when we run them.
Yeah, now one thing I want to touch on is post-production world, because that's dearest to us and what our listeners deal with when it comes to you know, post-production stuff and Final Cut and Avid and Adobe and all those kind of cool things. What's different this year on post-production conference than maybe you've done other years prior?
Well, the main thing this year that we've added to it is podcasting. Now, that is actually technically part of the post-production world conference, and although we are offering it as a separate event for people that want to go to it, it is part of post-production world, because we've discovered that you know, a lot of folks that are in production obviously want to know how to produce good product for podcasting, and also how to produce the latest product for, you know, broadcast as well. So that is evolving into several different areas. As I mentioned, we have well over 200 sessions that are going to be held in post-production world, and we cover essentially all the major platforms that are out there, and that includes Adobe and Apple and Avid, and you know, essentially how to actually do hands-on production with these various platforms. We're going to be dealing with Macromedia Flash quite a bit, and you know, all of the technologies that are in use out there, and all the new ones that are on the horizon, we're going to be covering in depth.
So the big driving force this year, what you're seeing the biggest growth this year over last year, is really the podcasting.
It is.
It's really,
really
the podcasting and the mobile media.
Yeah, between podcasting and mobile media and HD, those are the hottest things at the show. HD came along a couple of years ago, and it just keeps growing and growing. Podcasting is very on top of everybody's minds this year, especially broadcasters who are getting into that, and people who want to just get their own shows on the air, obviously. They want to know how to do it, you know, how to do it in a good form and make a professional result out of it.
Yeah, and I think that broadcasters will actually see that the podcast deal is not really a threat to their existence. Actually, it's just another extension of their business.
Yes, and that's what we found. We found, you know, originally a lot of broadcasters were a little afraid of it. They said, well, you know, this is going to be competition to us. But when they started looking at it, they say, well, you know, we have a lot of content. We are content producers as broadcasters. We can put this on the web. We can, you know, podcast this material as well. So they're looking at it as a new platform for their use as terrestrial broadcasters.
Yeah, and I see you guys actually partner with FMC to bring on some of this post-production world content.
Absolutely. We found that FMC is the premier training organization, and we have been partnering them with them for several years now, and they do an exceptional job of training. They have some of the best trainers in the industry, and you know, as far as we can tell, it's just second to none. All of the attendees we talk to that have attended those classes have nothing but good things to say about how the training has gone with FMC involved.
Yeah, they do put on a great show, and they have centers all over the country, too. So when they're not doing the NAV stuff with you guys, I guess they're working hard all
during
the year.
They do. They have a full-time training organization, and in addition to that, they work with us on the show.
John, how do we find out more information on the NAB show, on registration, on the conferences? Where do we get all this cool information? Is there any kind of pre-registration deals or anything going on?
Well, there's quite a few things happening, and the best place to get the information on the latest issues that are going on with the NAB show is at nabshow.com. We have press releases that we'll be issuing regarding new things that will be happening at the show. We have the full conference program there. We have the exhibitors listed. You know, we have a lot of super sessions and a lot of keynote addresses that people would be interested in hearing as well, and those are all up on the website, plus all the registration information.
That's great. John, thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Scott, good talking to you, and hopefully we'll catch you again.
Yep, that was John Marino, the Vice Vice President for Science and Technology with the National Association of Broadcasters. You can check out more information at nabshow.com. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. We'll be right back.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution.
What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
For the new millennium. This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now
at 800-490-0058.
Or email us
at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show brought to you by Creative Pro. If you want to create great things, if you're a creative designer using Adobe applications, Macromedia, you name it, if it's a creative type app, this is where you need to go for great tips. There's forums, information, daily tips. Check them out, creativepro.com. Yeah, NAB is going to be huge.
Oh, yeah.
We love NAB. I mean, it's like, but the thing
it's
is, it's such a
toyland.
It's like it's 10 days of craziness.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, well, the show, especially, I mean, if you're at all interested in doing something with, well, anything, podcasting, whatever it is, you got to come down and check out the show. I mean, what's another good excuse to go to Vegas for?
Yeah, I mean, the show is like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but the actual conferences start the Wednesday prior.
Yeah.
So it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yes, they just
so
give
it's
you
10 days of like straight hardcore just geek city.
Oh, yeah.
It's great stuff.
Well, it's like people are running their businesses off of this. I mean, this is serious. There's serious money in this. I mean, this is what can support a show that's this large is because there's just enormous amounts of money involved in all these industries.
Yeah, and even if you're just doing podcasting, I mean, if you go to the Radio Hall alone, every piece of audio gear that you would need to do anything from a podcast to WABC New York City is in this building. I'm talking digital boards, Sennheiser. All these guys, mic booms, cables, every little trinket is in one place.
Every possible thing you could ever want. So if you're into that type of stuff, it's worth coming down to Vegas and checking it out. It's.
I hope you got a room
huge.
Already.
If oh, not, yeah.
You're going to stay out by Nellis.
Whiskey Pete's.
Yeah.
There you go.
Not bad. It's only, 25 miles to Whiskey Pete's?
Yeah.
So really, you know, about a half hour, 40-minute drive, you get rooms for $20 a night.
Yeah, versus $300 for the cheapest hotel on the Strip right now.
Yeah, they're starting to fill up now. There's a few rooms left, but if anybody really going to go to NAB and you want to put a serious effort out, you should really look at getting a room quick.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they just do not have enough hotels in Vegas now because there's so much going on.
It's the biggest show. It's bigger than CES. There's 100. Well, they expect 125, 130,000 people for an AV.
Yeah, yeah.
With over 1 million square feet.
It is the ultimate production show.
It's bigger than IBC in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool though.
Oh, it's just
fun
it's
stuff.
Amazing.
I can't wait for an AV. It's like a great time.
I think
so many
it's
cool
great.
Parties too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's basically, I mean, what's another good excuse to go to Vegas for? I mean, if you're just at all interested in this stuff, it's worth going down there and just checking it out for the day.
Well, it's for Apple's announcements, and they have big things going on prior, and they announce big stuff, and their booth is huge.
Yeah.
And the technology display. Last year, they had racks and racks and racks of X-Serves.
It was,
I think
it was
they
like
had, what they have, they had 100 terabytes online.
60 miles of cable of fiber that they laid down.
Yeah,
and
they had
ridiculous.
Like, they had like a 100 or 500 terabytes.
Yeah,
literally of data online. You should have seen these racks of X-Serve raids.
It was
all dual link.
It was about 20 foot long, just of racks and about 8 feet high. It was just crazy.
It must have took those guys a week to wire all that in.
I don't know.
It's all
you know,
orange fiber.
You know the thing about X-Serve is that it just works. I mean, you just plug it in and it works really fast. So the wiring might have been tricky, but the bring up was probably just
plug it in and
just
go.
Plug it in and go.
And that's a nice thing about an X-Serve. If you can really afford one, there's another cool way to go for storage because that's the premier deal.
Oh, it's the Ferrari. Yeah.
You can play around with external boxes and SATA cables and all these breakout things, but you know something?
You just
buy an X-Serve RAID with a fiber card, plug a couple of these little orange cables in,
And you're ready to rock.
Stand back.
Yeah. I hope they rev that product soon. And they go up to more and more, you know, they keep building on it because it is just a fabulous product.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fantastic product.
With the fiber cards and...
with everything, yeah.
The whole workgroup management software. And it's
it makes it very simple to get going.
Yep. Everybody needs an Xserve right in their house.
That's right. Or 10.
Yeah. Think of all the pretty lights in your living room and all the beautiful chrome and the brushes stainless. Oh, check it out. 1,000 terabytes of data on your wall.
That'll hold your pictures.
That's right. And every movie ever made. You're listening to Inside Mac Radio Program. Next hour, we're going to have Linda Wyman from Flash Forward 2006 and the Mac Geek Cruise Rundown. You're listening to Inside Mac Show. We'll be back in a few.
Hi, I'm Linda Wyman, the founder of Lynda.com, L-Y-N-D-A.com, and the producer of the Flash Forward Conference and Film Festival, which is happening February 27th through March 2nd in Seattle, Washington at the Washington Convention and Trade Center. The conference has been in existence for 6 years and has had over 20,000 attendees during that time. Adobe is the platinum sponsor of the event this year, and the Seattle show marks the first public event since the Adobe acquisition of Macromedia was finalized. Kevin Lynch, Senior Vice President and Chief Software Architect of the Platform Business Unit, will be delivering the keynote at Flash Forward. As well, Adobe has created an Adobe Technology Room where you'll get to meet with the Flash, with the After Effects, and the Audition development teams. If you're interested in learning about Flash video, you'll find all-day workshops covering everything from codecs to bitrates. For those animators who use Flash, be inspired by the founder of JibJab, the Chapman brothers who created Homestar Runner, and the team from Hallmark Cards that makes stories for Hoops and Yo-Yo characters. If you're interested in creating games, we have sessions that deconstruct the Nintendogs website and sessions on creating your first game and gaming logic. For those who are into motion graphics, we'll be celebrating 10 years of ResFest with founder Jonathan Wells, showcasing work from Digital Kitchen and Jacob Trollbeck. Or perhaps you're interested in an all-day workshop on Flex 2 and ActionScript 3, or you still can't wrap your head around ActionScript and want to take a workshop on that. We have legends speaking like Larry Lessig on digital rights in Creative Commons, April Griman, one of the premier graphic artists in the world. Our International Film Festival showcases the best Flash work on the web today. Our sponsors and exhibit hall bring the best tools out there for the Flash developer and designer. Check out our program at www.flashforwardconference.com. If you do decide to join us, which I hope you will, take $100 off the price by entering Inside Mac for 3 and 4 day passes. If you want to immerse yourself in Flash, learn about the future plans, meet the top developers and designers in the world, the Flash Forward Conference and Film Festival is the place to be.
You are Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio Program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, and we've been talking some cool Mac stuff today. You're here with Brad Wright and Scott Shepard. How are we doing, Brad?
Oh, doing great, Scott.
We had some great guests the first hour. We had Philip Hodges, the digital production buzzmeister, talking about all the great things going on in post-production land. We talked about the MacBook Pro and the new upgrades they did before it even shipped.
Yeah, how's that?
Yeah, so that's cool stuff there. We had Sam Levin and his cool Mac picks. And, of course, we had the man, John Marino, the Vice President of Science and Technology for the National Association of Broadcasters, talking about NAB 2006 coming up here in April.
Yes.
It's going to be a great show.
It's going to be a killer show.
And then next week we have some more people on from NAB, and after that we have more people on from NAB. So we're going to have NAB lineup here coming up for the next, you know, 3 or 4 weeks talking about this monster show coming up. Because if you're in the world of post-production, or if you're using any of the Apple Pro apps, this is something you really need to go to.
Oh, yeah.
This is the granddaddy of the shows. I mean, Macworld is great, but you need to go to NAB.
NAB is where the real rubber hits the road. I mean,
that's
it's
it,
just
man.
it's where it's at. That's where everybody shows up.
It's incredible. I mean,
huge.
Sony alone has a booth the size of Moscone Hall.
Yeah,
just their booth,
and with every camera they make.
Yeah,
yeah, all the way down, and you can basically walk up to them and play around with any video camera.
They have these. If you guys haven't been to NAB before, they have these stages set up, these lighted areas that are full production lit with professional full-blown models in them. And like every camera that these manufacturers make, and you get to walk up to a $100,000 camera,
yeah,
or even more, $1 million Grass Valley,
yeah,
HD camera that's uncompressed HD,
mm-hmm,
and play with these things.
Yeah.
These things, yeah, on big studio hydraulic booms with, you know, these $100,000 Canon lenses on them,
yep,
like they use at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You can just fire them up and start playing. It's pretty cool.
It's very cool. I mean, you really get hands-on to see equipment that you would not see anywhere else. I mean, they just have amazing things. Last time I was there, they had a we all talk about like these, you know, your nice little home theater projectors and stuff. Uh-huh. This one was about like almost IMAX resolution. It was about 4,000 lines horizontally.
And it was probably 100 grand too.
Yeah, 2,000 lines vertically. It was a very expensive projector. It was this thing that Sony makes, and it was better than anything you've ever seen in the theaters.
Yeah.
It was just, it was incredible.
Plus, if you go to the central hall, you walk around, and you go down this one aisle, it's row after row after row of TV trucks.
Yeah.
And then if you go down and you walk over a few or more aisles or part of in the hall, it's like helicopter, all set up with like gyro-driven high-definition cameras on the front.
Yeah.
From regular real news people, they bring their helicopters in.
Yeah. Well, everybody's moving to high def. I mean, that was another thing that they mentioned at NAB that this year. It's basically all standard def is being just chucked out the window. People want to get to high def.
And then if you want to get super crazy, you go behind the South Hall in the parking lot, and there's 15 or 20 18-wheeler full production rigs on display.
Yeah.
So you need a new 53-foot-per-8 high-definition production truck?
That's right.
For $3 or $4 million?
Just think of the home movies that you can shoot with a 53, you know, 18-wheeler.
I mean, they have these jack panels on the side of these trucks to put in 50 cameras. They have 100 monitors all in high def, and these guys are switching. There's another room behind the producer's room in the 18-wheeler that's all audio with a big, huge Heath and Allen boards.
Yeah.
Then they have another room behind that that's set up with tape decks and digital recorders and beta SP drives. And I mean, it's just, it's pretty wild just to go look at that kind of stuff and see how they do these things.
It's crazy. It's just, it's crazy.
It's so fun.
Yeah, it really is fun. There's a lot of practical stuff there, though, for the average consumer. I mean, obviously Apple is there. You know, there's a lot of companies that are there that are just showing off really basic stuff, too. So
yeah.
You can go out there and you can check it out. You don't have to be like, well, I've got a $53 million budget or something. And, you know,
they have great deals. I mean, like you said, you have Adobe's there. They're showing all the After Effects stuff. Apple's there. Avid's there. DigiDesign's there with Pro Tools. Sony's there. And then as you farther get down in the South Hall, the upper and lower areas, you get to the smaller companies. And I mean, they're down to just, there's Contour Design there showing off their little mouses.
Little super mouses, yeah.
Their mouses and their control surfaces and guys that have keyboards for Final Cut or Photoshop and, plugins.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff there. So it's not just the full-blown guys with the 18-wheelers and the helicopters. But
anything that you could actually afford and buy yourself.
It's all right there, and they have good deals typically, too. So go check that out at nabshow.com. You're listening Inside Mac. We'll be right back.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California, is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by Printing for Less. Do you need to have some printed business cards, flyers, brochures? These guys can do it. They're a true traditional offset printer. You can send them any file. Doesn't matter what software it came from. These guys will make it work. Great deals. Check it out. PrintingForLess.com. Right now we're joined by Linda Weinman. She is the creator and she runs Linda.com. And of course, what we're talking about today is Flash Forward 2006 coming up here in 2 weeks in beautiful Seattle. How you doing, Linda?
I'm doing great. Thanks for inviting me on, Scott.
Hey, thanks for coming. Now tell us, we have Flash Forward coming up here in 2 weeks in beautiful Seattle. Give us a little rundown on what you guys are doing because you have a greatly expanded what you've done years prior because now Adobe's on with, they bought Macromedia and you guys have some really big time speakers that do cartoons and a lot of Flash animation stuff. Give us a little rundown on what you're up to.
Well, we've actually always had big name speakers and we are definitely seeing record enrollment at this Flash Forward in Seattle. And we focus on a lot of different aspects of Flash, video, gaming, mobile, cartooning, scripting, the interactivity. We deconstruct a lot of really amazing Flash sites. We have a film festival. This year what we have added is an Adobe technology room, and Adobe is putting together their own track, which lasts for 2 days out of the 3-day conference. and they're going to be showing off the new video production studio with a new version of After Effects, a new version of Premiere, a new version of Audition, and they have some other great guest speakers in there as well. They have the ability to meet with their teams and actually talk to the developers of the program Flash, talk to the developers of After Effects, and do some birds of feather sessions where they just get to interact with attendees. So great opportunity.
Did you say there's a new version of After Effects coming?
Yeah, it's been announced already.
Oh, this the current one, 7.
Right.
Oh,
it was announced about a month ago, if that, maybe 3 weeks ago. So this is going to be probably the first major conference that the video production studio will be shown, but also it is absolutely the first conference that Adobe has, you know, done the keynote at related to Flash. So, of course, that's really big news that Adobe bought Macromedia, and this will be their very first, sort of public face forward with the new acquisition. So it should be a very interesting keynote.
Yeah, for people who aren't familiar with Flash, Flash is just a generally, I mean, people see it obviously in web pages, but generally it's just a fabulous animation package. I mean,
well,
it does
so much more than that. I mean,
nice.
I think that's almost, you know, what a lot of people think that it is, and it is that. I mean, we actually have some fantastic cartoon sessions. I don't know if any of your listeners are familiar with HomestarRunner.com, but they're just, like, have a huge cult following, and Hoops and Yo-Yo, they're the Hallmark characters that go out on Hallmark cards, and we also have the guys from Jib Jab, if you've ever seen the great political satire Jib Jab. They've been on Newsweek and CNN. So we have a great, you know, a lot of great sessions on cartooning. But the thing that a lot of people don't realize is that Flash has actually been coined as a platform, and it allows you to build full-on computer applications, not just movies that run on the web that are static, but has a very robust interactive scripting language. You can do mobile games that are delivered over mobile phones. You can do all kinds of, you know, server and client calls from the Flash application. So, you know, dynamic data can get loaded in. There just are some absolutely remarkable. I've seen entire banking applications created in Flash.
Uh-oh, that's scary.
It is, but, you know, the thing is it's incredibly powerful, and it's really an umbrella technology that holds within it images and sounds and video and movies, and the interactive layer is really what makes it, you know, different from other video delivery systems over the web like Reel or QuickTime. You know, the fact that it just has a very robust scripting language called ActionScript that allows you to create the interactivity.
Linda, how hard is it to learn how to program using Flash?
You know, I think it's got a pretty steep learning curve, personally, but I'm not a programmer. But, you know, it is sort of a very interesting crowd of right-brain, left-brainers. There's sort of this developer, designer kind of person who is ambidextrous in this way and, you know, is comfortable with code and is comfortable with graphics. And there is just such a huge demand for action scripters right now. Every single speaker that I'm talking to who works at a company is telling me that they're hiring, they can't find enough talent. We actually have a job lounge at Flash Forward, and we're encouraging, we have a number of recruiters who are going to be there, but we're also encouraging all the attendees to be able to, you know, post job recs or resumes, or, you know, we just have an entire lounge that's devoted to networking and being able to connect with people who need jobs and want jobs. So it's a really great question, because I think at the .com crash, there were a lot of people who had Flash skills who kind of found themselves like, wow, this wasn't really a viable industry. But I'm seeing such an upsurge both in attendance at Flash Forward and just the general buzz that this is a skill that's really in need.
So really a big driver now of Flash is into building applications.
You bet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Linda, tell us about what you guys are going to talk about when it comes to motion graphics. There's a lot of stuff going on with that. There's this new Flash video format that does alpha channels and stuff. Tell us about what's going on with that at your conference.
Well, of course, you know, all eyes are on Adobe to see how After Effects and Premiere will ultimately integrate with Flash. Right now, there's some level of integration, but before they owned the file format, it was a little bit limited. I think, you know, there's sort of two different kinds of Flash files. There's the FLA, which is the source file, and then there's what you publish, which is a SWIFT. And so in the past, they could only relate to the SWIFT. You know, they could only publish a SWIFT. They couldn't publish an FLA, and so you really, it was like a read-only file that could get published. And so all eyes are on Adobe in terms of what will the integration story be, what will the hooks and handles from After Effects and Premiere be into Flash. And I know with the new release there are some new additions in those areas, and they're going to be described very fully in many different sessions. But I think the really big news about Flash Video is, one, you tagged it there, the ability to do layered video, which no other format can do, and then also just the fact that you can make interactive video that has logic trees, and you know, you can click on a section and something else can load in, and you're seeing a lot of use of this on the internet, and there's really no other technology that can do that.
Now, let's talk about the film festival. This is a real big part of Flash Forward. Mm-hmm. Tell us how all this works and how the submissions were sent in and who votes for it and how all this goes down.
Okay, well, we have submissions from all over the world. In the last year or two, the weight of submissions has actually become more weighted towards international than national, which really surprised us. We first started Flash Forward 6 years ago. The majority of entries were from the U.S., but we've historically always had international winners. And we have 15 different categories, and we have a series of judges who we work with every single festival, and we change the judges. Some judges work with us for multiple festivals, and we always get new judges in every single time. We find experts in the variety of different fields. So there's a category on animation, and there's a category on cartooning, and those would be the same. There's a category on storytelling, and there's a category on motion graphics, and a category on sound, and a category on best application. And so we find experts in all those different areas, and they become our judges. And then we have one type of submission, one type of award that
Linda,
people,
we yeah. ran out of time here. Where can people find out more information about the conference? We've got about 20 seconds.
FlashForwardConference.com. Pretty simple. Check out everything, including all the news about the film festival.
That's great stuff. We're going to have some speakers on here in the next few weeks about Flash Forward. We're going to be there live covering it the whole week. Check it out, InsideMacRadio.com or FlashForwardConference.com. You're listening to Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com.
Momentum for your Macintosh.
Scott Shepard
is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the digital production buzz of Philip Hodge. It's the coolest show on digital post-production and great things there. Check him out at digitalproductionbuzz.com live on Thursday evenings from 6 to 7 p.m. And shortly thereafter, podcast. You can check that out, digitalproductionbuzz.com. So, Brad, you've had a chance to play with the brand new Keynote.
Yes.
What do you think?
Well, you know, I mean, I am a huge fan of Keynote, and there's really good reasons for that. Some people that go out, and I'm sure that anyone sit through a PowerPoint presentation where somebody has basically taken a PowerPoint slide. Their presentation consisted of a PowerPoint slide with the smallest text, and they filled the entire thing with text, and then they stand up and just read off the slide. And it's the most horrible experience. I mean, you just want to die. You want to get out of that room so fast when people are doing it. Keynote, on the other hand, has always been one of these applications where it's decided to make the text very big and, you know, fairly large with good graphic layouts, good aesthetics, and they also have a nice set of, you know, animation capabilities that allows that text to kind of drop in, the slides to transition nicely. It has good video playback, all of these things that just make it a fabulous application. I've used it on Inside Mac TV quite a bit and editing these segments together because it just has a great animation capability just built in where it can kind of reveal things and elements of the slide very nicely and very slowly. Works great for television. Works really good text. So what they did in this new version of Keynote is not really pretty much groundbreaking, but just a little bit of an upgrade, so on and so forth.
So when you create graphics for DV, what size do you originally start them in? when you're working in Keynote.
When if I go out and create a DV, I actually do it in 1024 by 768 because it just gives me a few extra pixels to play around with.
And then you downsize it in Final Cut?
I just downsize it in Final Cut. Final Cut just understands it as square pixels and just drops it in. Final Cut 5, that is, has a really good understanding of a QuickTime movie and that it's square.
So it's square and it converts it to non-square pixels and does all this automated stuff for it.
Yeah, does it all
so
for
you. Just drag it in and that's it. Right
and that's it. Yeah, and then, of course, you know, you chop up the little... Gives you at first, because Keynote will export it out to a QuickTime movie. And then you just take it in your QuickTime movie and do a little editing to it to time it in with what the person is talking about. Now, of course, it works great for a video podcast, but it's not so good for regular television because the output from Keynote is not interlaced, and so it does not have smooth motion. And so if you try to play a slide back from a QuickTime file on a regular television, it's going to look really funny looking. The motion's going to look really strange. And I wish, and maybe we'll talk to him next week, the product manager, and I really wish they would add motion blur and smooth motion to these Keynote QuickTime movies.
So the best thing to do is to make a Keynote presentation if you want to play it on TV, then bring it into iMovie or...
Yeah.
Or and Final
just,
Cut.
And it's a little bit of a struggle, though, still. It's almost still, it's like, it's going to look a little weird. But if it's on, it's playing back on a video podcast, no problem.
Now, I wonder what happens when you stick it on the iPod and you play the iPod on TV. Does it take care of that?
A little bit, because I always put everything out on for Inside Mac TV. Everything's at 24 frame, and
right.
So it's a little jumpy and skippy to begin with.
Right,
so
it's supposed to be that film look.
Yeah. I mean, people are kind of okay with it. I mean, it's a little bit lower res, but people are all right with it.
That's cool. But any other cool features you've seen in the new?
Well, I mean, they added a few more text features, more text animation. Looks more like a little live typey, you know, kind of features. You can drop a web page into your presentation, which basically there's a new element called web page.
Yeah.
And it will automatically pull the content from the web page and display it in your slide. So if you're talking about your new website, it will just say, okay, let's go grab it. Let's go auto-update.
Do you have to drop the URL in, or the actual, do you have to do a whole screenshot?
No, it's no screenshot. It's a live update.
You put the URL in. If you have an internet connection,
yeah,
it pulls
right,
it down
and
live.
Pulls it right down live.
See, isn't that cool?
That's
WebKit
very cool.
Built in, see?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You got to love that integration.
They're on a roll. It's a fantastic app.
Yeah. Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. We'll be right back.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Informal. Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio Show. This part of the Inside Mac Radio Show is brought to you by lynda.com, the place to go for all your online training needs. If you need to learn about Office or Final Cut Pro or Motion or graphics applications, you name it. Even email applications. They have all the training you need online. Very cool deal. You subscribe and you can have all you can eat for the month or the year, however you do it. So check it out at lynda.com. Right now we're here with Brad Wright and Scott Shepherd, and we've been talking about some cool stuff going on with the new Keynote. Let's talk about Apple updated the iLife suite this week.
Yeah.
Got a
nice
new update. They've updated iTunes to 6.0.3 for more stability and improvements over 6.0.2.
Yeah, that's always good. More stability.
Yeah. They updated IDV 6, resolved issues with integration with other iLife applications.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of cool stuff there. So they've done a lot of updates to the iLife suite.
Yeah, it's still rolling. I mean, if you haven't got out and bought the new iLife suite, you really, for $39, you can't go wrong. These are some incredible applications. I mean, huge improvement in iPhoto. Huge. It literally is like a completely new application. I mean, the speed at which you can browse through photos is enormous. I mean, that alone is just worth the $39. And then you talk about what they did with iMovie, which is now like really fast and really stable and just so much better than it was before. New graphics that they put in there. It's just so worth it. You've got to go out and get this thing if you haven't bought it already.
Yeah, it is very cool, and they, like I said, they've updated all these things, and let's see if we can find an actual update. They actually updated macOS 10. To 10.4.5.
Yeah, that's a new one. That's these are continuing to roll it and improve the OS, rolling out security features, and that's a great thing.
Yeah, they have. They've updated, and it's a combined update that updates everything from 10.4, 10.4.1, 10.4.2, 10.4.3 to 10.4.5. So they've done improvements to internet, iDisk, and networking.
Yeah.
So they got some new things to Safari so that you don't have to deal with AOL mail messages via AOL webmail. They've updated Apple's IPsec VPN.
That's
now
good.
Works with Cisco servers.
Oh, that's nice. That's for people that are stuck in maybe a PC world.
Yeah, that's terrible. They've updated some stuff with Epson printers to
yeah.
work with AirPort Extreme.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I have this worst Epson printer issue. I had to go out and buy the Epson printer server adapter.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing is probably the worst product Epson's ever produced. I mean, it's just this horrible thing. It's wireless. I would much rather have it go off my AirPort Extreme. That's fantastic.
They've updated the rotating cube effect to appear as expected on both primary and mirror displays when you're using fast user switching.
Oh.
So if you have dual displays, everything... Shoot, cube.
Shoot, yeah.
Got to make sure you get the update for that. They've done some Quartz Composer QuickTime component improvements.
Yeah.
For iMovie 06 when applying the Ken Burns clip or image effects.
Yeah, see, that's the thing is that is really, when you start to render out one of those things, it's really slow. That's the only sad part about some of the new graphics that they put into iMovie and iDVD are these new ones where they have like a map that's in 3D and you drop your little video clips on it and it just kind of works around through the map and flies through the map.
Yep.
Well, it looks great because it's all in real time when it's in Quartz Composer, but when then it goes out and renders it out, it's like, okay, come back next week.
Right. they made some more updates for video redraw issues when using Front Row on Intel-based Macs.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
There was a few complaints about that. So they did a bunch of cool little fixes here, a couple upgrades and things for iMovie HD. And
they haven't gone to sleep.
Oh, no. These cats are working 24/7 to make sure you have the finest system available known to man. Next up here, we're going to have Derek's story. Derek's going to report on the Mac Geek Cruise that was last week. So you're listening to Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying? Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Macintosh for the new millennium.
This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac. Get on live now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show brought to you by OSX FAQ, the place to get all the information you need for Mac OS X. You need software updates for Mac Update, great news for Mac Minute, all the cool stuff going on with Inside Mac, Inside Mac TV, Inside Print Radio, you name it, it's all there, OSXFAQ.com. Right now we have Derek Story with us. Derek just attended the Mac Geek Cruise, that I think was in conjunction with some Photoshop deal, too, on the open seas that went to beautiful Mexico. How are we doing, Derek?
I'm doing great today. I'm all nice and tan and everything.
I bet. So you went on the Mac Geek Cruise, and I think it was in combination with some Photoshop deal, right?
Exactly. It was a combination of Mac Mania 4 and a Photoshop fling.
So tell us about it. What did you guys do? Where did you leave from? How did all the stuff work?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a neat idea. It's done by the folks over at geekcruises.com, and they do it in conjunction with Macworld Magazine. Macworld Magazine's one of the major sponsors. And on this particular cruise, we headed out of San Diego, so we all had to go down there. And then we set sail, and we made three stops. One in Cabo San Lucas, and the second one in Mazatlan, and the third one down in Puerto Vallarta. And what's kind of cool about it is, you know, when you're in port, it's just like any other cruise. You get to go out and check stuff out. But when you have all that time on the open sea, you actually have a conference going, and it's a great way to spend the boat time.
So is that something you really want to do when you're on a cruise, or would you better off just be drinking, sleeping, and eating?
Well, it's a great question. I mean, you know, you can still do all the drinking and eating and sleeping that you want. I think the appeal was for geeks who actually wanted to have a vacation and do a conference, but had a hard time kind of, you know, being away from the family for a while. So sometimes what a lot of them do, they bring their partner or whatever on the cruise, so the partner gets to drink, sleep, eat, go to the gym, do all that kind of stuff, and the geek other half hangs out in the conference sessions.
Yeah, I guess it's pretty fun. I haven't been on one myself, so it's hard to say, but I would think that just a straight off drinking and eating is enough activity.
Yeah. you have to remember, Scott, it's not an either or equation. There's a you're doing both. Just remember, there's 24 hours in the day.
Yeah, I guess so. You don't need to sleep around vacation, because if you sleep, then you lose all, you know.
Well, what kind of things did you guys do cover on the conference?
Well, the conference actually had sort of two major tracks. And, you know, one track was for folks that really wanted to get into digital photography and Photoshop, and had a great lineup of instructors. And I was helping teach that track. And then the other track is, you know, really kind of getting into Mac technology. So, like, Sal Segoyan was there teaching AppleScript, and Chris Breen from Macworld Magazine doing, you know, like iMovie and stuff like that. Jason Snell, you know, all those guys. So they were teaching kind of all the Mac stuff. And basically, you know, you can, you know, just go from one session to another. If one isn't doing it for you, then you duck out and go to a different one, or if none of them are doing it for you, you duck out and go to the deck.
Go out and eat and drink.
and have a fruity drink, you know.
Now, with the cruise, do you have to pay for the cruise and the conference separate, right?
Yeah, I think what they do is they put together a pretty good package so that it seems to work out that you're not paying that much more for the conference than you would just for the cruise straight up. And, you know, The guy that puts these together, Neil Bauman, you know, he does so many of them. I think he has a fair amount of you know, leverage in terms of putting those packages together.
So what was the cost on this?
Well, you know, it didn't cost me anything.
All the drinking and eating. And
well, you know, what's cool is when you all the food and everything, you know, you've already paid for it. So you just carry around your room card, and whenever, you know, you need something, you use that. And the only thing that's extra is alcohol.
Oh, so they do make you pay for the drinks, though.
They do make you pay for the drinks. Yeah.
Oh my.
You know, they got the next one that's coming up in at the end of October to the Western Caribbean, and I'm just looking at the site right now, and basically the prices go from, like, you know, $800 to $2,000, depending on how fancy of a room you want.
Oh, that's not bad.
Well, actually, you know, I mean, what's it matter? $800, you're still getting the same experience.
Yeah.
You do. Although, you know, there is sort of a difference between having a room that's kind of in the middle of the ship than having a room that has, like, a sliding glass door with a balcony overlooking the ocean.
Is that what you had?
Yeah.
Well, they greased him good on that deal.
Yeah, no wonder I'm in a good mood, right?
You were not
right underneath the boiler room.
He was like, you know, the Titanic. He was in the top level. He was the upper class.
That's right. And it's funny that you mentioned that because this is a Hall and American ship. So the first thing you do on Sunday is like have this lifeboat drill. You know, where you have to put on your little life jacket, and everyone goes out and find out where the lifeboats are, and you get in line, and they call out your number and all that kind of stuff. So,
oh wow,
yeah,
you're like, this could be serious.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess it's better to know where the heck the lifeboats are than not. You know, if something happens.
Yeah, but how many times did you watch Titanic before you got on that boat?
You know, I actually had a Titanic moratorium for a few months before the sale, just because I didn't want those, you know, didn't want that stuff in my head. But actually, the sailing is pretty smooth. I noticed that coming back, you know, they really fire up the engine because you go all the way down south, and then you just, like, haul buns back, you know. And so you're going pretty fast. And I noticed that some people, if they did get a little woozy, it was, back.
Oh, yeah, because then they get up the speed, and you're hitting the wakes, yeah.
Yeah, you got a little bit of, you know, you got that little sway thing going. And they have pills for you there if you need them, so that's great. I did it for, you know, for me, tequila sort of did the same thing. So I
there you go,
there you go, Dr. Tequila.
Yeah.
So what did you pick up? What was your chief takeaway from the whole gig? Did you actually pick up anything tech wise, or did you just have more fun going out on the stops and shooting photos and having fun?
It was actually a little bit of each. You know, the Photoshop guys that were teaching. Like Deke McClellan and Jack Davis, they're pretty much at the top of the list there. And so hanging out in their classes and I was helping them, I actually did pick up, more than I thought I would. So, you know, that part was sort of a nice bonus. But, for me, I think the part that I really, really liked was, you know, being in port and hanging out in Cabo San Lucas and,
oh yeah, and Cabo Wabo.
Yeah, exactly. And and the other destinations, and you know, the weather, it was just so nice and warm. And you know, I'm a photographer, so I was just having a great time. And I published all sorts of photos on my blog, which we'll give the URL before I sign off here. So I think for me, at the end of the day, you know, really the destinations were the part that I really, really liked.
If you were going to pay for it, worth the money spent.
I think so. I think, you know, if you're always kind, you know, like, you know, people in this audience, you know, if they're always sort of curious about what a cruise was like, but, you know, didn't really want to know what they would do, you know, while the ship was at sea, it's probably something to take a look at, because you are busy the whole time. I mean, you're really as busy as you want to be. And I think the other thing that's sort of different about it than a regular conference is that the speakers are, like, always hanging out. So it's not like you go to your session and, you know, everyone just kind of, you know.
Yeah, they can't escape.
It's not like at a conference where it's like rats in a warehouse after the session's over, you know, where everyone just kind of, you know, heads to the dark there. And the internet connection, they do have internet connection, but it's only in a few public areas. So, you know, you sort of have to hang out in public there if you want to be online, which means then that the attendees can come by and just, you know, chat you up anytime they want. And I got a lot of feedback that people really like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's quite cool.
Yeah. It was my first cruise, by the way. I've never done this before, so.
I've never been on a cruise either, so I'm going to have to try this.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I was.
Especially if they give you the top hotel room, you know.
Yeah. Well, I was a total newbie, though. You know, it's like midship, aft, you know, forward. What do you mean? I'm lost. You know, where do I go? But after a while, you sort of get your bearings on, you know, where everything is. There's, you know, even though it's a cruise, they still talk all the ship talk.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to get the hang of that.
Arr.
Yeah. You know, the thing to do is, you know, ask, you know, some of these seniors that are floating around, because it's, you know, it's still a regular cruise with, you know, normal people too.
So it was full of blue hairs.
Yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of, you know, regular folk, and you know, then there's like, you know, 300. You know, Mac heads, you know, kind of in the middle of, you know, 1,200 cruisers.
Wrecking their cruise for everybody else.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, Derek, your website is
thedigitalstory.com, www.thedigitalstory.com. And if you type Mexico in the search field and hit return, you'll get all the pictures and stuff from the cruise and stories and all that good junk.
Thanks, buddy. That was Derek Storr. You're listening to Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen to online tonight or the David Lawrence show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
With Scott Shepherd.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. You're here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. And we've been talking about all things Mac Geeko today. Cool stuff. I'll give you a little rundown of who we've been talking to. We had Philip Hodges on, the digital production Buzzmeister, talking about all the cool post-production news of the week. We had Sammy Levin on talking about a couple of cool Mac picks this week. We were talking with Brad and myself about the new MacBook Pro upgraded before it even ships. Brad's got one on order.
Yeah, coming here from Taiwan, direct.
Yeah, so maybe in the next couple of weeks we'll be talking about that. I want one, but I'm waiting for the 17-inch screen.
I'm
stuck on the 17-inch format, you know, so I'm assuming they'll have one pretty soon.
Hopefully next week. Yeah,
that would be cool. If they have one, a 17 available next week, I'm ordering it.
Yeah.
I'm on it.
Yeah.
I got someone else here in the company that can use this fine 17-inch.
Yes. Yes.
The G4 one.
Well, you can get a Daystar upgrade for that, too, as well. You can get that up to 2 gigahertz now.
Really?
Daystar is shipping.
I dropped it.
Yeah.
I dropped it.
Yeah, I know. But, now
but it's still working. It's fine.
Yeah. No,
it's
you
got
can,
a little
you can,
teeny
you can,
thing.
That thing's got some life on it because even this guy, I think, will go up to, I've got a 1 gigahertz PowerBook myself. You can pop in a Daystar, the new 2 gigahertz upgrade.
That's quite possible. Worth upgrading.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, these things run forever. That's what's so great about a PowerBook. You know, any Apple product, it'll just run forever.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's cool. So we talked about that. We had on John Marino, the vice president, the senior vice president of science and technology for the National Association of Broadcasters, talking about all the cool stuff coming up here at NAB 2006 in April, the middle of April.
Yes.
18th through the 25th, I think.
Be there. Excuse for Vegas.
Oh, the show is just, you got to go to NAB.
It's just amazing.
Yeah, so NAB basically starts off on Wednesday the 19th. Conferences go 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. They also go during the week, but the show starts the 24th through the 27th. So you got 4 days of trade show. That if you walk, if you spend all 4 days,
you got to
just
run.
Walk in aisles.
You got to just
you got to huff. Book.
You got to run.
I don't know if you got. I've been.
You
got to
get up early in the morning and be right there when it starts, and you can and you might get through.
I've
the
never
whole
finished
show.
An AB.
Yeah.
Never.
Never. Yeah, it's impossible. It's that big. But that means that you can just basically target all the good stuff.
Yeah, you can feel what you really want. I mean, if you have a fetish for, you know, helicopters with high-def cameras on them.
Yeah.
Dude, you can check out all the choppers and the 18-wheelers out back.
Oh, yeah.
TV trucks rock.
Well, these huge outdoor displays. Like, if you wanted, like, you know, you had your little outdoor patio and you wanted a television out there, that's where you could get one.
That's right. They had displays in the
outdoor
south
displays.
Hall back that were basically, like, 40 foot.
Yeah.
Across.
That would work.
Size of a billboard. I mean, basically, digital displays the size of driving theaters.
That's because, you know, we're California.
If you can still remember driving theaters.
Yeah. We like to barbecue. We like to be outdoors all summer long and spring.
Dude, you can have the barbecue with a tow-along deal behind your truck with a 40-foot high-def screen out back.
There you go. And they look pretty darn good.
Yeah, especially when you're 100 foot away.
Yep.
So we had John talking about all the cool stuff at NAB. In this hour, we had Linda Wyman. She is the creator of Lynda.com and also the person that runs Flash Forward 2006. So that's going to be a great conference coming up here in 2 weeks. We're going to have another guest on next week about Flash Forward, one of the speakers, and then we'll be Inside Mac. We'll be at Flash Forward all week, Monday through Thursday in Seattle, doing live coverage every day from the show floor. We're going to be shooting some video, doing interviews with people every day. Cool stuff with Flash Forward. Very big now with Adobe buying them, so this thing's getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, Flash is a huge, huge application.
Yeah, and we just had Derek Storr on talking about the Mac Geek Cruise. So that seems like it's a pretty fun deal.
It does sound like a lot more fun than I thought it would be.
Yeah, we'd like to check that out maybe. Maybe not with the Geek Cruise, but at least go on a cruise. So, hey, the Inside Mac radio program has been brought to you by Micromat, DVD, XDV, MCE Technologies, Creative Pro, Printing for Less, Mac Update, the Digital Production Buzz, Lynda.com, and, of course, OSX FAQ. You can find out more information about what we're up to at InsideMacRadio.com. You can check us out over on iTunes, or you can check out our video component over at InsideMacTV.com. I've been your host, Scott Shepherd. You've been here with myself and Brad Wright. We've been talking about all things Macintosh, and we'll be back next week with more cool stuff and all kinds of cool surprises. Stay tuned. www.InsideMacRadio.com.